the body. However, in the case of the Christ, he was able to do something that far outreaches the rest of you, in fact, because of one thing only. He contained and was able to hold enough power, sufficient power, to be able to do that which he had to do. It is extremely rare, my friends, that you are going to be able to amass that much power on the physical earth plane. But may I say one other thing very clearly? It is a misunderstanding to say that this is the only plane of existence. It is absolutely untrue. And for those of you who believe it, I'm sorry, I will have to contradict you. It is my very valid experience. I speak from my own experience that there are other layers of understanding. There are other places, if you will, that you can take care of this problem. Do you understand that just because you cannot, in this lifetime, on this earth plane, burn yourself up in a purple flame? Is that a good color? A purple flame of transfiguration? If you can't do it here, that doesn't mean that some place in some other dimension of understanding, of awareness, that kind of thing can be possible for you. So, please, I know very well that you try to follow in the ways of the Christ, and I understand I understand how that works within your own minds and hearts, and it's a lofty ideal, but I must be very frank. We're just not going to be able to work with that one. The situation that you have to face is this. You have come to one of the most difficult planets in order to undergo a great deal of work. This planet, as you well know, is called by all those books, you know, the kindergarten of the universe. Well, I would not go that far. But it is true that there are many things to learn here, and it is extremely difficult for a spiritual aspirant to make the thrust necessary for freedom on this particular earth plane. Now, those of you who believe there's only one world, I'm sorry. I cannot support that belief. I will only tell you this. There is a freedom possible here, but it is not that kind of freedom. And I would like to define the kind of freedom that I'm talking about. It is possible within your own being to amass enough power. I don't mean arrogant power. I mean divine power. To be able to leap, and it has to be a leap, through all of your preconditioning, all of your misunderstandings, all of your enclosed and encompassing and limited beliefs, to break open all of that and to understand who you are. You all have been told, you read it in all the books, you're divine, you're divine, you're divine. What does that mean? You're divine. You look around the world, do all of those people in the world appear to you to be motivated by divine wisdom? Do they really, if you're being honest with yourself? So, if that is the case, then you have to take that meaning in another sense. If somebody says you are divine, and you're acting in an undivine manner, then exactly what are we saying? We are saying, my friends, that as long as you are paying attention to the outer periphery of your life, what I would call the egotistical boundaries of your life, you're going to be trapped in action, reaction, action, reaction, and you're going to continue playing back and forth until you die and wake up to find that whatever it was you came for has not been accomplished. But if you believe one thing only, I don't care if you believe anything else, just hold to one thing. If you believe that there is such a thing as divine energy and it does manifest within your own physical vehicle, then it is your obligation to find out if it's there, and if it's there, what it has to teach you. Because if it is there, then why are you not using it? It is because you're not paying attention to it. It is almost as if all of the old statements are true, that there are bodies within bodies within bodies. And most of you, have you looked at your television lately? What does it deal with? When you get down to the basics of it, it always ends up to be the body, does it not? You know, you have to have things for your body, or you have to be gorgeous for your body, or you have to do this so another body will like your body, and it goes on and on and on and on. It is all surrounding one thing, the physical frame. And I would tell you this. However much your senses might tell you different, you are not the body. It may be stated that you are something inhabiting a body. Yes, yes, I will say that. But to say that you end with this physical frame is to say that you are not seeing at all clearly. If your eyes, by that I mean your inner eyes, were to open at this moment, you would see something entirely different. You would see the movement and flowing and undulating currents that unite all of you. All of you. That isn't what you want to hear, some of you, because many people like being who they are, and that's a very important thing. In fact, if somebody argues with you, you are going to make sure that they know who you are. Do you understand me? This is this push to say, look, I'm me. Don't infringe on me. I know this, and I'm going to tell you that I know this. Do you understand? This whole kind of thinking, and it all boils down to one thing. You believe your senses when they tell you that you are a physical body. All right, I agree. That's the way the game is structured. Fine. But I will tell you something else. And any mystic worth his or her salt can tell you that that is simply the outer layer. Has nothing to do with who you really are. And if you doubt me, I will throw a challenge down. Spend the rest of your life finding out if you're a divine being within there. If when you die, having spent the rest of your life, and you find I speak false, I'll meet you on the other side and we'll have it out. All right? All right? I mean it. I mean it because I know it to be fact. I know it to be true. Why? Because I see it. You see with your physical eyes. You touch with your physical hands. You think with your mind. I will tell you this. When you begin to think with your heart, when you begin to see and move with your heart, then we can really begin to understand what we're talking about. You're using the wrong equipment. Your eyes make the world fearful. Your ears make the world fearful. All right, fine. But when you begin to listen, when you begin to see with your inner awareness and not your external awareness, there isn't going to be any fear anymore, my friends. It simply will not be there. You say to me, but my life is a mess. I say, wonderful, that doesn't matter. You can live in a life that's a mess, and it will not have this fearful impinging on you if you know that within you brilliantly sound grounding light is quietly, continuously, and endlessly moving. Moving, ever expanding, ever extending, giving meaning to everything you see. When you see with your eyes, you see separation. When you see with your being, you see no separation at all. And please tell me this, where is your fear if there is no separation? You are afraid because others can hurt you. And I tell you, my friends, that is absolutely untrue. It is not the fact. You are not vulnerable. And why are you not vulnerable? You are not vulnerable because you happen to be the invulnerability of the one movement of divine energy. And there is nothing vulnerable about God. Nothing. Identify with your periphery, your ego, your action, reaction, and you have a lot to be vulnerable about. I agree with you. When you shift your focus to going within and to staying within in this instant and moment and not past, future, where is the fear? Is there fear now? In this instant, in this room, where in is the fear? But if your mind begins to move, and you go tomorrow, oh my goodness. Or you go yesterday, oh, what did I do? Backwards and forwards. You move between the two polarities of past and future. You go back and forth and back and forth. And in the interim, you are afraid. You are guilty about what you did, and you are afraid of what you're going to do or what others are going to do to you, and you're caught. And you say, I can't be happy unless I have a wife or a husband or whatever your thing might be. Cadillacs, I don't care, whatever it is. You have identified your peace, your joy, your life with the outer. And the minute you've done that, you're dead. You are dead. From my vision, you are living in a dead world. And that world is very vulnerable, my friends. Please understand this. All of you, I don't care how many Cadillacs you own, you can lose them in a day. I don't care how many lovers you have, they can leave you in an instant. I don't care about any of the periphery. It's going to go when it's time to go. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. So wherein lies the peace? Only one place that I have ever seen in a human vehicle that you can find it. It moves, it lives, it extends, it creates, it is what it is. And the only thing that I think that you have to do in this world is to quit thinking and to start being. Now, what does that mean, to start being? The one thing you know without any question is that you exist. Is there anyone in this room who can tell me that they do not exist? If you exist, then you know one thing only. And it is that one thing that when you get in the quiet of your own being, begins to tell you something, begins to tell you. Over and over again. Why am I so adamant on meditation? Because I'm a rat? No, because I know it works. If you sit in the morning or in the night, I don't care, and quietly find out what's going on within you, you're going to start finding out some answers. If you rely on your mind, if you rely on your reading, if you rely on taking a poll on the block, you're finished. But when you can go within your being and ask the questions there, you're going to start getting your answers. There's nothing mysterious about it at all. The mystery is why you don't try it sooner. That I consider a real mystery. All of the mystics tell you, seek and you'll find it. Where? Where are you going to find it? Out there? Have you found that which you sought out there? Has it been dependable, enduring? I don't think so. The kinds of things that bring about the thing that you're looking for is to go within your own being in whatever way is meaningful for you, and I have no preference whatsoever. And turn off your mind and turn off your emotions and just sit there and wait. Because the truth is that he who knocks does hear. But if you are busy talking, and if you are busy thinking, and if you are busy judging, and if you are busy emoting, you are going to miss it. Because it isn't going to scream at you. It is a simple thing. It is so simple that it's so unglamorous that nobody tries. All you have to do is to shut up. That is all. That is very unglamorous. And I don't talk about masters, hierarchies, and all this, because there's only one thing. You either are silent and therefore capable of seeing the reflected oneness, or you're noisy. And you can be quiet with your mouth, and your mind can be very, very noisy. If you've ever tried to meditate, you've certainly found that out, haven't you? It doesn't take very much. But unfortunately, it takes one thing. And this is the hardest part of it. You believe with a deep belief that the world is going to give you your peace. As long as you believe that, you will continually look in the world for your peace, and you will move your chessmen all around. The real problem I know is that I have the wrong husband. So you move that one out, you get a new one in. No, really, that wasn't the thing. What I need is two more children. Fine, so you put two more children on the chessboard. Fine, that doesn't work. Well, now what I really need is a new house, so you get rid of your house. But watch what you do. Watch what you do. And each time you have this wonderful thought, this is going to do it. This is going to do it. Watch what happens. It doesn't do it. And the reason it doesn't do it is very simple. Anything that is not motivated by divine action is not going to make you happy for very long. You'll just have to face that. But until you really face that, until you really say, look, the future is not going to do it, the past isn't doing it, there's only this instant, I'm going to sit in this minute and wait until this supposed wonderful thing happens, you're lost. You're just going to keep wandering and wandering. I don't care what you think of me. I care what you think of you. And you see, I see you very differently. You tell me you are a body. And I tell you that the body and the mind is within the vastness of who you are. You've got it backwards. Because you have limited yourself to such a finite degree that you believe that you end here, you are stuck with it. And until you do something to break down your belief, how are you going to be happy? How are you going to be free of that? You've got to do something. Now, those of you that are magicians, fine, you can do it that way. But there are not many real magicians left in the world, all right? So you're stuck, you're going to have to go the slow way, you're going to have to meditate, you're going to have to sit there on whatever you choose, a chair or a pillow, and you're just going to have to shut up. You're going to have to believe all the mystics. You're going to have to take a stand. Either you're going to believe them or you're not. And if you believe them, then you're going to have to shut up everything that you can and just stay with it. And as boring as it can be, you're going to stay with it. The problem with this quest is it isn't instant. It doesn't happen like that. And you know, you're a world that wants instant results, you know? You want entertainment, you turn a button and that, what is it, the mandala, the television appears. And you can have this and that and the other. Or if that bores you, you jump in your car and you, whatever. Do you see? You were so used to getting things instantly without any effort on your own part that this slow inner journey bores you. Because you're looking for spectacular results. My friends, if you are looking for 4th of July rockets, do not try for freedom. Because that's not what's going to happen. When you find yourself free, it is the most natural, the most joyful, the easiest, the most spontaneous, the most creative, normal thing that you've ever done in your life. There will be no feeling of superiority. There will be no feeling of achievement. There will be nothing but one thing. Undulating, endless, compassionate love. And that's all. And if that's not what you're looking for, if you're looking for powers, if you're looking for power, if you're looking for manipulation, then we're playing a different game. Because when you find it, you will know that you have never been without it. Where is this thing that you're looking for? You have to create it. If you have to create it, then it isn't the thing. If it isn't here, intimately, totally, then it's not the thing. My friend, you're feeling it now. But you're not paying attention. You're just not paying attention. If you keep yourself totally and utterly in this moment, not a mental moment, but this moment, you will begin to taste of it. And again, and yet again. But I give you one fair warning. Taste it enough and you will be addicted. And when you are addicted, your world will change. I hold out no promises of great and wonderful lives. You might lose everything you have. There are no guarantees. When you become addicted with the search, you will do anything, and you will go anywhere. And that is not going to fit in with all of the things that you might hold dear now. So if you want to keep your Cadillacs, and if you want to keep your prestige, and especially if you want everybody to love you, I do not recommend that you try to be free. If you care more about what the world thinks than of being free, please don't try it. You know, you read all the stories of the saints and you think, oh, that's nice, but it has nothing to do with me. I'm not so sure. I'm really not so sure. The reason I'm speaking this way is I think people are very naive about this business. And I think that they find themselves caught up with and exploding with the desire for freedom, and their life begins to change, and their husband or wife is saying, what are you doing? I don't want you getting up at 4 o'clock. It makes me upset. I don't want you doing that. And why aren't you doing all the things? Why aren't you going to the club? And why aren't you playing bridge? And why aren't you? And you're saying, because I don't want to. And if you're a man, the wife is saying, but I need a new refrigerator, I need a new car, and I don't like my clothes. And here you are talking about taking a part-time job so that you can be quiet and introspective. No, what are you talking about? My life is going to start to change. If you are afraid of what anybody thinks of you, this is not for you. And I am very explicit. Join a religion. Any of them. You can stay safe and secure in that religion, and that's good, and good luck. Stay in something organized where the boundaries are very clear and you know what you have to do to get to heaven. Stay in that religion, whatever it is. But if you want freedom, which is something quite different, then I ask you to not be blasé about it. People come to me and they say, I want freedom. And I say, do you? Well, what would happen if you lost this and that? Oh, I'd be terrified. Oh, no, I don't want. What they're saying is, I want to be free, God, but on my terms. Take me, God, but please leave me this, leave me my, you know, my car, my house, my job. Leave me all of this. Take me, I surrender, as long as I can take with me all of these things that I hold dear. Fine. God makes no bargains. I do not think that people understand what they're talking about when they say they want to know God. You say, it's written in the books, he who sees God, I'm probably going to miss this, he who sees God cannot, you cannot see God and live. Is that it? Do you know why they say that? Not because you're going to explode in like a rocket, but because the life that you live isn't going to go on. And if you like your life the way it is, you have no business being here. If you love your life just the way it is, if you're content with it, then please don't go to meetings like this. They're only going to be troublemakers for you. Because if you like your life, if you think it's fine, if it meets your needs, then you don't need God. You're doing very well, thank you. Forget it. But if you wake up at night and think, what is it all about? I'm lost, I'm scared, I'm lonely, I know I don't have everything together. Something is needed. I'm yearning for something. If you're one of those people, then this is the kind of place for you. Maybe not this thing, but something like it. There are no rules for your freedom, my friends, except one, that you have to want it so badly that you would give up everything. And I do mean everything for it. You read the saints and you say, oh, poor things, isn't it wonderful? That's part of it, my friend. If you think you're going to float into God's arms with your hair up in a fashionable coiffure and on a beautiful dress, you are very much mistaken. You might make it that way, only if you don't care what you look like. Please be very clear about this. But if you happen to be one of those that says, I want it, I know it's there, I know it's real, and I intend to find it, then there's really only one thing to do. And the beginning thing to do is to quit thinking, to whatever extent you can, to quit reading, whatever extent you can, to quit philosophizing, and to become very still, and to begin to see. If you see with your eyes, you're going to miss it. But if you see with your core, you're going to see it. Are there any questions? Could I have the water, please? Mm-hmm.
The feeling of love that comes through when you're an open channel and you see someone and you embrace, and that love bond is so great, regardless of race or color or anything. Is this the type, maybe on a finite way of explaining this love, this feeling of love and complete, total unity, such a complete understanding?
I always hesitate to answer questions like that, and I will tell you why. There are many people who mistake emotional response, which is something that I think most people in this room have felt, for the kind of thing that I'm talking about. The hallmark of validity is only one. When this happens, if you are no longer there, if there is no you, if there is only one, then you've touched on what we're going for. But if you have any feeling of, I love this person, and oh, aren't I wonderful? Look at me loving this person. Isn't this a wonderful thing? Look how I love this person. And especially if the person isn't, you know, as wonderful as you are, if you're running into this kind of feeling, then you have missed it entirely. As long as there is any sense of yourself being in any way different and apart from and not one with that person, it isn't what I'm talking about. Because what happens is that when the power moves and the washing happens, there is only the power. And in that instant, there is no possibility of separation because there's no you. How can you be separated when there is no you? Now, what do I mean? That sounds rather radical, doesn't it? That there is no you. If you could see deeply from within, you would see, moving through this room, undulating light, multicolored, multifaceted, moving in all ways, uniting, moving through. This person feels herself to be separate from this person. That is not my perception. I see the energies moving, undulating, changing instantly what it touches here. This gentleman is changed simply by sitting next to you. She is changed. You see yourselves as separate. There is absolutely unreal. There is only one movement, and it moves. What is here this moment is dependent on what all of you are this moment. You make up this moment, not as separate little blobs of human flesh, but as one movement of energy. You come together, and there's one energy, and that's all that is seeable. You freeze it down. You say, I am me, and I have all this territory around me, and I don't want anybody messing around my territory. This is mine, right? Now, some people have territorial limits out here, some further, but everybody who believes themselves to be a body, eventually there is a wall that comes down and says, this is me. This is mine. I believe in it. I identify with it. Fine. But it's not true. Those of you who are astrologers, you reach to the stars. You know clearly, clearly, that the movement of those bodies affects these bodies. Unconditionally. Unconditionally, they affect. And their movements change things. It is a oneness. And I think an astrologer has a better chance of sensing that than many people, because their boundaries are so much vaster. When an astrologer can say, what is it, Pluto you call that farthest one? Pluto? A strange name to that planet. Pluto can affect this. You're saying something vast. Vast! So the mind and the limits are very far away. But many people don't believe in astrology. They're stuck. They believe this. They believe the brain. They say the brain has to prove it to me. That is the hardest of all of the things that I have to deal with, is the person that says, if I cannot see it, it is not real. And what is the answer? The answer is very simple, my friend. If you have a yearning that the world has not met, then I suggest that you start looking where the answer is, which is within yourself and not in the world. How you go about it is up to you. In this day and age, there are hundreds of paths. Do they all work? There's only one criteria for a path that works. Do you do it? Many people try different paths and then they say, oh, it didn't work, it didn't work. And then my question is, yes, how hard did you try? How hard did you really try? Are there any other questions?
Path one approaches operating from the center, from the past, the center within oneself. And since we are a human being, when a human being's entering our closed plane and we can meet in our oneness, my question comes, why is there male and female? We are all one. And is marriage really meant to be our earthly function?
The question is, I sense a question behind the question, and if I'm wrong, please correct me. Is marriage necessary?
Well, I almost feel that if one is operating from a true God consciousness or a center consciousness, one will be celibate because it'd be pretty difficult to share the physical plane with all human beings. I think the physical plane limits us to humanness and God love.
All right, I hear you. All right, I've got it. I think. All right. I think the question is, if one is enlightened, can we take it that far? If one is enlightened, is there need of a partner? Of course not. If one is enlightened, is there need of anything? No. Because once one is enlightened, one knows irrevocably one thing, which is that you are everything. You see, it isn't that you say, now I don't need something. It is now that you say, I am all things. It is not that you don't need anything. It's that you are everything. I know this sounds like absolute garbage to most of the people in this room, but I must say it since you have brought it to this point. The fact remains that when the blinders have fallen, you see you are all. You are all, not in some kind of a intellectual dilettante manner. You are all, and you see it at once, instantly, and totally. You see that there is no... How are you going to pick which bundle of energy to embrace? Well, probably the one that's right there. That one goes fine. Another one comes fine. It doesn't matter. All things then have the same thing to you, the same view, the same perception. You see no separation, therefore there is no need for any discrimination of any kind of selectivity at all. And that is a fact. However, However, and now we come down to a more fundamental question, and one I think that is extremely valid to be asked. Is it necessary to balance the male-female, if that is your wish? Is it necessary as a woman to have a male in your life? And the answer is not if you don't want one. There are no rules unless your mind demands them. If your mind has it set up that you're going to be the priestess and you have to have a priest, then you are going to have to find a priest. And make no mistake, you will not become one until you follow your own rules. You've made up the rules. I didn't need to. You've made up the rules. Now you have to follow them. And this is why again and yet again I said, those of you who are truly serious and not just playing at this, who are really serious, find out what your rules are. Do your rules state that you cannot be enlightened if you eat meat? Then don't eat meat. Do they say that you cannot be enlightened if you're having a sexual relationship? Then don't have one. What are your rules? And then there's the wonder of the church's rules. And don't ever underestimate the power of what has been placed in you from the time you were young. You've got to look at them. You've got to look at them. If you believe that you can be free by following the ritual of a certain church, then I would ask you to throw yourself 100% into that ritual and get free. But the problem is that most people do not penetrate to the hub of the religion. They stay on the outside of it. They stay with the words. They do not move into the momentum of the center. And when you move into the center of any of the great religions, you will find the same core. And those of you who do not believe, who say that Christ is the only begotten Son, I am very sorry. I cannot agree with you. I think that there have been many begotten sons, and thank God. And thank God. Let us not be so selfish that we can only have one in the thousands upon thousands of years that man has walked the face of this earth. Let us not limit ourselves to one. If you have one that you adore, if you have one that your heart responds to, then good for you. Get yourself on your face before that one and worship him in whatever way is meaningful. And do not spend time asking, are you the only son? Are you the only son? What difference does it make? What if God has a million sons? What difference does it make? If you have found one whose path is meaningful, follow it to the end. And don't waste your time wondering if it's the only son. That kind of thing is exclusivity. It means that you somehow have to have the best God on the block. And I do not approve of the best God on the block. I do not approve. And those of you who find my words heretical, I will meet you on the other side and we'll see. I mean this literally. I know I tread on some toes and I'm very sorry. But you ask my truth, I must speak.
There's also the problem that some want their guru to be better than, you know, another's guru.
It's always best to think you have the best teacher in the universe, yes.
My guru can beat up your guru.
All of that is very true. I sense that there are many followers of the Christian faith in this room, and I will tell you my definition of a Christian. My definition of a Christian is one who has experienced the Christ energy to such an extent that they know that the Christ is a reality and doesn't exist between the covers of a book. If you know, not by your mind, but by your own being, that the power of the Christ exists and is alive, then I would call you a Christian. Anything short of that is secondhand information. And that is not what he had in mind. That is not what he had in mind. He had in mind an intimate relationship with you. Any of the great teachers had in their mind one thing only. Let us have an intimate relationship, you and I. Let me be yours and let you be mine, and let you listen and let me teach. And if you think that Christ is dead, you are very much mistaken. The energy that you have called the Christ consciousness can speak at any time, and all you have to do is shut up. We always come back to the same point. How can you believe something if your mind is the only thing that tells you that. If your being knows it's real, then you know it's real. Other than that, my friends, you're just talking. I'm sorry to be so crass, but it is the absolute truth. A Christian is one who has worked every moment of their day to union on their inner planes with that energy that you call Christ consciousness. And it can be done. And it can be done now. But most people are so busy with their own ideas of Christ consciousness and their own ideas and the rules and the regulations that they've missed completely the energy that waits to speak. Do it now or do it later. Eventually, you all have to come to the place where you say, I want to know. I want to know so badly that I will do anything. And when you make that statement, look out. But most of you need to look very carefully at your life and say, do I really mean it? You cannot have union with the divine as a secondary job. Do you understand what I mean? If your first job is something else, it isn't going to happen. You can't do it every third Tuesday or every fourth Sunday or even every Sunday and have it happen. You don't try that with anything else. If you want to be a nurse, how many years does it take to be a nurse? You give your all, and then you're a nurse. But then people say, yes, well, I want God, but I can only give you, every third Sunday. And please don't make too many demands. If the day's nice, I want to go swimming, whatever, whatever. No, fine. I don't object. Please, I don't mind if that's what you want. But you're not going to get all without giving all, and that's what I'm trying to say. It's got to be all. That means every minute. Unfortunately, I mean every minute. That means that you have to find within yourself something that connects up with that inner core of you so that you can sit in that core every minute of your day as you go about your job. And it can be done. And it can be done. You can be centered in your divine awareness and do anything. And instead of having your job suffer, it's going to be, well, find out for yourself. Did you have any questions?
Yes, I have. Thank you. I have suspected that the planets don't cause anything and that they are merely symbols of cosmic order, which we can then read. Is that correct?
I think the true statement is that just as bodies, human bodies, are gossamer and illusory, all right, if you can understand that, it is also true that the planetary bodies are gossamer and illusory. What they are vortexes of energy moving, and they mirror something that you can read if you have the eyes to see. All right. Just as the human body is just a vortex of energy, and you can read it very differently if you have eyes to read it. One person can look at you and see eyes and hair and so forth. I don't see that. I simply don't see that. If I were to see a planet, this Pluto, it would not appear that way. You see, when you use limited vision, you see limitation. And eyes are limited vision. You know, the funny thing is you all know that. You all know that your eyes lie to you all the time. And yet you base all of your reality on something that you know lies to you. You know the old story of the person that thinks that the rope is a snake. They see the snake. It's not a snake. It's a rope. But they are afraid. I say the same thing to you. You look at separate bodies. You think they're real. You think they're real. Absolutely. I will tell you this. What they are is energy under pressure. Energy densified. That's all. But what a to-do you've made of it. What a to-do. There's energy everywhere. Why this? Why is this energy so much more exalted than that energy? Why? You see, it's the separation and it's the superiority. With all due respect to the human condition, they can be very arrogant. Arrogance is not going to win you the kingdom of God. It will not do. Any other questions?
Yes. I also have suspected that through many lives, eventually we learn to use the qualities of every sign, and that once we do, that doesn't mean the end of earth living for us.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
Thank you so much.
It's absolutely true. Absolutely true.
Isn't it also true that we do come back many times as male and female to round out the human existence, both as to the strength of the male species and the strength of the female species? Round out our personality?
Yes and no. Yes, in that you have to continue to live life after life in order to understand only one thing, that you are one. And if you feel that the female or the male is superior, that is not oneness. So, in order to strike the divine harmony, you have to continue to play the game until somehow, somewhere, you say, enough! Enough! I will quit thinking I'm better than somebody else. I am finished with it. I would rather be free than to be superior. And that's what's necessary. This is what this gentleman is talking about of the signs, because each sign has its strengths, and one sign can be in opposition to another and can feel arrogant because I am a whatever. What? What's a good one? An Aries? I am an Aries. All right? I am an Aries. I am not an Aries, but I am an Aries, and this is a wonderful thing, and how much better I am, so forth. It all manifests as separation. And just as the signs have to all be blended and balanced and seen as one wondrous whole, you can split that another way and say male, female. Split it any way you want to. Every time you get in a split, you're going to have to stick around in a physical body until you say no. I surrender my territory. I think this is a very important word, my friends. I surrender my territory. Do you understand the thrust of what that means? I surrender my selfish, individualistic, egotistical territory. And the reason that you don't is you're terrified. If you surrender your territory, then somebody is going to take advantage of you. But that's not the way it works. If you have nothing to defend, my friends, what is there to be afraid of? If you have nothing to protect, if nothing is yours, what do you have to be afraid of? What? It is in your mind. It is in your mind. Fear. You have two choices. You can love or you can fear. And you cannot do both. You cannot. And those of you who say, oh, I love my husband and I love my wife, blah, 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 and you're afraid, no. That is not love. At least not the kind of love that I'm talking about. If you have fear in you, you cannot love, because love says anything. Love says anything. What do you want? Anything. Love has nothing to lose because love has everything. Love is not something you get. Love is something you are. You either are manifesting the energy that you call love or you're not. And if you're manifesting it, you've got it. And if you've got it, then nobody has to give it to you. The whole problem is you've got it backwards. You think that people have to give you love, and the truth is that is never going to work. Nobody out there can give you love. Oh, they can give you a pretense of it. They can do their best, and they do try. I really do feel this is true. I think humans try very hard to love one another. I do believe this. But the fact is that taken even the most intimate lovers, there comes a wall that says, no, I will not, whatever it is. There is a wall that comes up that says no. And when you hit that wall, you're no longer open. You're no longer one. Something has come between. And the only person that truly loves is the one that has nothing to defend. Do you want something? Take it. Do you want me to do something? I'll do it. Do you want your opinion to be right? I agree with you. Whatever it is. You see, every time you say, no, you're wrong, I'm right, what are you saying? This is my territory and you just get out of here. Mine. Watch your language, my friends. Watch what you say. Because you have a lot of things that you're defending. You're afraid. You've made one very wrong assumption. You have assumed that if you give something away, you're going to lose it. And do you know what? The other way around. If you give something away, you keep it. If you give something away, you keep it. It's backwards. If you can just take the whole thing and turn it around, you say, but I have my opinions and I know they're right, and I just, you know, I have to make sure that everybody in my world knows they're right. Look very carefully and see if it's working. Does it work? Look at your own lives. Does it work, my friend? Does it really work? I grant you, one of you can shout the other one down. I'm not denying that. Some people have louder voices than others. But do you change it? Have you changed anyone by your adamant insistence? I doubt it. What are you protecting? You protect because you think you're vulnerable. And the fact is that you are not vulnerable at all. And the only way that you will ever know that is to get within your being so deeply that you know who you are. And when you know who you are invincible. And that is a promise. Not invincible in an arrogant way, but invincible in the knowing of what is. It's not hard, but it's not glamorous. Therefore, very few people try it. Are there any questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
As we go through our lives and we have dealings with people, I've heard a lot or been told a lot that if you have specific problems with a person, it's important to work these out, because if you don't this lifetime, then you might run into it on another lifetime. And from listening to you, I feel that maybe that's not as important as I thought it was.
You can play your game any way you want, my dear friend. You can work through all of the garbage cans on the human race as long as you want to. But let me tell you something. Until you see that you are not an ego, you're going to run into somebody else who will give you trouble. You see, it is not that you have a problem with somebody else. The problem is you. The problem is not interrelationship. We go back again. You see, as long as you have something to defend, as long as you are looking for something, as long as you have qualifications that others have to meet, you're going to run into trouble. Who can meet all of your specifications? As a mother? As a lover? As a husband? As a child? Who in this room can meet all of somebody's specifications? Do you understand? It is impossible. You have set yourself up to play a game that you cannot win. And when you find that you cannot win, instead of saying, the game didn't work, you say, no, the problem is, I've got the wrong person. I'm playing with the wrong person. Oh, all right, so I'll dump this person and I'll pick up another person. And now I'll try with this one. And then, how many years? 5 years? 6 years? How long? Takes. Pretty soon, you run again into the same problem. Here is another problem. All right. You can do it any way you want. If you want to go through the garbage cans, you're going to have to talk to somebody else, because I will not participate in that. Because it is my experience that when you are paying attention to the periphery of your life, which is your relationships with other people, trying to adjust them, moving the chessmen all around the board, you get everybody all set up, and then somebody knocks it and they all fall over and you start all over again. The answer that I see, and this is only my answer, is the moment that you no longer are afraid, you can be compassionate and loving and open, and you will understand and thereby clear any relationship instantly. Until you find that you are fearless and compassionate, you will simply be moving from one set of problems to another. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can go the other route. There are psychiatrists who will be very happy to take care of it. You can go endlessly. I have nothing against therapy, psychiatric counseling, none of that. If it brings you to freedom, and if you have found someone who is a therapist who is also enlightened enough to free you, then go with it. But understand this, my friend. No one can take you farther than they have gone themselves. No one. The answer lies in knowing that you are invincible, totally safe, totally secure, and totally compassionate, and you have nothing to defend. And when you know that, where lies the problem? How are you going to balance your ego with another ego? How do you go about that? Each instance that you have a difficulty, you have a choice to make. Someone speaks to you harshly. You have a choice. How are you going to take that instant of choice? Are you going to go into your center and from that center simply allow it, understanding that it comes from fear? Or are you going to move into your fear and respond in kind? There are two choices. And those of you who say it's difficult have not tried it, because it's very simple. Because the fact is that there is something that you call divine, that I call love, that is within you at this instant, and you can call upon it at any time, but your ego does not choose it. Your egos do not choose it, because it's more fun to play. But the fact is, it isn't more fun. It is not more fun. The intuitive divine life is the most spontaneously exciting thing that I see as a viable option on the earth plane. But in order to do it, you've got to quit paying attention to the periphery, you've got to get into your core, and you've got to start living out of that center. And the only way is to get in there and find it. And it's so simple. It isn't an alchemical function. It's there. You don't go to Neptune. You simply stay here. The last place you look for your own love and your own joy and your own peace. And it's right here. I have nothing to say but the one thing. If you are not pleased with your life, then find out who you are and be free. And whoever you meet, where will be the problem? If nothing but compassionate love is coming out of you, where is the problem? There will be no problem, because you will have nothing to defend, nothing to work out, no psychological trauma to overcome, no birth and mother who didn't love you, and whatever it might be, it will be finished. You have two choices. You can be limited, or you can be free. And with all of my heart, I suggest that you try for freedom. because it is possible. It is possible now. Not in a future that does not exist, but now. Love is what you are. Truth is what you are. Manifested or manifest limitation. That is your choice. But do not blame God for your choice. Are there any other questions?
Does it benefit a person to treat for or to envision what he desires?
The question is, I have to repeat it because of this wondrous tape, you see. Does it benefit to entreat for what one desires? I think it is the human condition that they continue to pray and entreat until finally one day they say, it didn't work. And in that instant, when you quit trying, you fall into that which you've always looked for. What you're looking for is already there. Now, I'm not talking about cars, do you understand? I am only talking about inner wisdom. If you want specifics on the outer periphery, such as what is it you would like? Good health, how's that? All right, yes, go ahead and ask for it. Hold the thought of good health and so forth, and the chances are very good that if you hold the thought of good health, you're going to be healthier than if you hold the thought of illness. Absolutely no question about it. But you see, my friends, where you and I might differ is I say, I don't care if you're sick. I want you to be free. Did you hear me? I don't care if you're sick. I want you to be free. I don't care if you have a lover. I want you to be free. I don't care if you have money. I want you to be free. I don't care about the rest of it. I want you to be free. And the only way you're going to be free is to stop wanting all those other things and say, forget it. Enough. I am going to sit here until I sense and taste and feel my own divine self, and then it's all over. Whatever thing you want that is limiting, I don't want for you. I'm sorry, but I don't. If illness brings you to your knees, and if illness says, all right, I'm sick of being a sick, puling, whining human being, I'm going to be something different, then I say, good for you, go get sick. I don't care what you have to do. The point is, I want you to be free. And why? Because I know you can do it. And because I know what it's about, and it's worth far more than all of the things that you could possibly have envisioned. Whatever you need for freedom exists this instant, this absolute instant in your life. You need nothing more. You need take nothing away, and you need add nothing. It is finished. Because, as you well know, except you have not remembered it, you are already free. You are already free. And if you doubt me, then you silence your mind long enough, and you get in there, and you find out, and I stand on my statement that you are already free. You could not have even thought of the idea of freedom if it was not an actuality. It simply would not have arisen in your consciousness. Yes? You asked something?
Well, there's several more questions on this list which we might try to cover. Please.
By the way, any of you who want to leave, if it's too hot or too boring or too whatever, please feel free. Instantly to go. I have no attachment at all to that.
Would you please explain the phrase, made in God's image?
Well, the problem with most people's idea of God is that he is, what, how many hundreds of thousands of feet tall? And he rises above the hemisphere, and he has his arms outstretched, and he has a face and a beard and so forth. And you are then of the same image, you see. You have this human idea. If you're going to talk of being made in God's image, the only thing that you can possibly say is this. When you see a right instead of a wrong, what you're going to see is divine energy extending. And that is what you are, and that's where we began. That is what you are. And when you say you're made in God's image, we're not talking about a physical form. You know, God really does not have 10 toes and 2 feet and the legs and so forth. That is not really what he is. I'm not even sure it's a he, with all due respect to the gentleman in the room. But what is the reality is endless, extending, dynamic, ever-creating, vortexes of compassionate wisdom and understanding are the nature of that which you have chosen to call God. And that is what you are made of. Many of you do not believe me. It remains the truth. And if you could start seeing with a different part of your equipment other than your eyes, you would soon understand what I mean. Read all the saints. What happens to them? What do they see? They see these little bodies pitter-pattering around doing this and that. That's not what they see. They see something quite different. But you read that and you say, oh, whatever would be the Middle Ages view of LSD, that's what they're on. Must be the grasses that they eat around the hermitage or whatever. Or it's probably because they didn't have enough to eat for too long and they're hallucinating and so forth. The fact is that when you are beginning to approach the state called freedom, your visual field breaks down. You start seeing things differently. That's all. You see this as a one plane and this is all empty space. I say, oh, no, it's not. You think this is empty? You are very much mistaken. This is much more filled with life than many of the bodies that are sitting around in this space. The space is life. This is life here. And you say it's empty? I say, no. It looks empty to you because you're looking with your eyeballs. If you weren't looking with your eyeballs, you'd see something different. What is an inner plane? An inner plane is nothing more than shutting off your eyes and your senses and using the mechanism within your being to start sensing, feeling, and opening up. And not only that, you begin to see, truly see, with an inner vision, and it's there. It isn't hard. It isn't hard to start to see the other planes. They're right here. They impinge on you countlessly, endlessly, continuously. You see yourselves as alone. Someone is feeling so alone. Oh. This is one of the strangest things for me, to hear people saying, I'm so alone, and I see them. And they're so unalone. They're so totally unalone. One thing I will say that some of you will not want to hear, but I will say it anyway. When someone so-called dies, which I call bursts into life. We have a different perception on that. And if they are deeply, wondrously connected with you in any way, and particularly if it's someone that you have done great service for in a lifetime, it is very often the case that part of that space that you call empty is filled with a movement of vibrational care, compassion, and upliftment radiating from that person that you call dead. Now, it is not your job to ask for that, because it's your job when someone dies to say, go and go as far as you can. Just go as far and as vast and as totally as you can, and don't worry about me. That's your end of it. But the other end of it is that oftentimes those in this life or in life's past that you have served with open heart and total compassion say, now it's my turn. I'll do the repaying. And they help. You're never alone. I think it's possible that if somebody were truly hideous, truly unloving, truly, totally unserving of their fellow man, I don't know if there'd be a whole lot of people around wanting to help them. I do think that's a possibility. But the fact remains that these so-called other planes that you think are so far distant are so much closer than you could possibly believe. Where do you think the Christ love is? Do you think it's a band of energy sweeping through the northern skies and you have to somehow fly up there and participate in that? Look at your own views. It's here. It's never gone anyplace. Where could it go? If it's all one, my friends, where are all these people going to go? What is it in your mind? Where are they going to go? Where are all these great teachers going to go? There isn't any place to go, my friend. That's why I say, if you stay in this minute, in this instant, if you do not budge from this point in time, you will converge with the energy and the wisdom that you're looking for. But if you start to move out, going into the future and fantasizing whatever it is you're fantasizing, you're just in your mind, and that's not where it is. The wisdom you're looking for isn't in your head, my friend. It simply isn't there. So you're going to have to do something, which is claim who you are, and it's very simple. I think we've gone on quite long enough. I think some of you are very ready to go.
Is it not true from where you are that many are coming over on our side through different vehicles in order to express the same message you are expressing to other people in other areas, possibly in other, whatever you want to say. I don't want to say space and time. I want, you know.
Right, I understand.
Right.
In times when the world is going to go through a crisis, which I'm sure most of you are aware is upon you, there is always a wave of compassion from the other side, as you would call it. And that wave of compassion manifests in many ways. And one of them is what you're speaking of. Another one is that some people with very high forms of consciousness will choose to incarnate whether they want to or not, in order to see what they can do. If you wish to help your fellow man, the only thing that I see that will make any difference is to somehow devote yourself to raising your state of awareness so that you are free of hate, jealousy, rancor, speciality. When you rise above it, you're helping. You can spend your millions if you wish, but instead, please, raise your state of awareness, and that is the only thing that is going to matter. And when you look at this approaching time of difficulty, and you would be foolish if you do not see it. You see it in your economic field, you see it in your weather, you see it in the movements of the earth, you see it all around you. Don't be blind, but don't panic either. Because at times of great chaos, you have a chance, the most powerful chance for your freedom. But if you fall asleep, you're going to wake up and be dead and it's all finished. Use it. The power is here. I promise you, at times of crisis, it is always best. It's almost as if a new wave of understanding moves over the face of the planet and tries to help you. Can you hear it now? Can you hear it now? Can you hear it now? Take it or leave it. It's hot. You've been very patient. I'm grateful to you for coming.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.